to go live, says YouTube. Oh, shoot, that's too far. Okay, is this gonna... Oh, I think we're live. I think we're live. Hooray. Welcome to the WAN Show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you are ready for a fantastic New Year's show today. That's right, it is the 1st of January because, well, Luke and I, quite honestly, are pretty boring people. I'm making some assumptions about Luke, but...
You're on it.
I heard a bunch of noise outside, and I was like, "Hey, hun, what is that?" And Yvonne's like, "Fireworks. It's midnight." And I was like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, that thing." What'd you get up to?
I had the sliding door open because it was a little warm, so I was letting the house cool down a little bit, then. The fireworks went off, so as the old person that I am, I closed the door as to not bother the bird. That was my New Year's experience.
Nice. I like it. You know what? I was supposed to eat the fancy ice cream that Dennis got for me and Yvonne for Christmas. We were going to watch a movie, and unfortunately, the plan was to watch Wonder Woman 1984, and according to the carpool critics anyway, it's like, eh.
That sucks.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I'm gonna bother. She's made it about a third of the way through. What do you think of Wonder Woman so far? She says it's okay. So yeah, all right, sounds about right. We've got a bunch of great topics for you guys today. Two foldable iPhone prototypes have reportedly passed internal durability tests at Apple. How freaking sick would that be? In other news. Shroud apparently watches LTT videos on stream on a fairly regular basis. Okay, yeah. I didn't know this. So I had the experience...
We've talked about this on WAN before.
Well, whatever. So I had the experience today of watching someone watch me, which is real surreal. And what I've decided is that later on during the WAN show, since... Shroud didn't ask my permission to show my videos on stream. Without asking his permission, I'm going to show his video of him watching my video on my stream, and we're going to see how far we can take this. Okay, so there you go. That's my two topics for today.
Inception, I like it.
What else we got?
The artificial sun rises in the east. I'm going to give you no further details. That's just, we're leaving it at that. Also, a major hedge fund advises Intel to outsource CPU manufacturing, which is quite spicy.
Yeah, why don't we talk about that?
Yeah.
But only after the intro.
Yes.
The show is brought to you today by, I forget. Someone for sure, though. Seasonic, Redux, and Kernel Care Plus. That's right. That means I set up totally the wrong lower thirds for later. That's okay. We will sort that out later. Okay. Oh, no. I said there was something that I was going to, like, save for the show, didn't I? Did I give you any context for it whatsoever? Oh, no.
I don't think so.
What were we talking about? It wasn't...
We were talking about development stuff.
Development stuff.
Oh. I was talking to you about float plane stuff.
Crap. All right. Well, it was pretty cool to be in Mr. Beast Rewind today. So that's one thing kind of flashed through my brain while we were talking about that. But that was not the thing that I wanted to talk about. That's okay. Why don't we jump right into two iPhone prototypes allegedly passing internal durability tests at Apple. This is pretty freaking exciting. So this is according to Taiwanese website Economic Daily News. And according to them, tests of an Apple-designed folding hinge system for two different iPhones were reportedly recently completed at the Foxconn factory in Shenzhen, China.
Do you think that would mean, if it's two different iPhones, do you think that would mean the high end, low end of their entire next launch?
No, I think that would be two different sizes of probably a completely new, utterly unique SKU.
Interesting. Okay.
And that would be something that even 2 years ago, I probably wouldn't have predicted. But if you look at Apple's trend over the last 3 to 5 years, I mean, do you remember when the iPhone was the iPhone? And Apple's silly branding where they don't call it an iPhone or the iPhone, they just call it iPhone. Do you remember when that actually made sense because there was only one f-ing iPhone? Well, that's been dead forever. Like their current lineup, let's pull this up. Let's pull this up, ladies and gentlemen. Apple.com, okay? Wait, yes, it was something I was going to screen share. Okay, where is it? Maybe it was the Shroud thing. Okay, it doesn't matter. The point is, let's pull up Apple.com. So under iPhone, you've got iPhone 12 Pro, two different sizes. iPhone 12, two different sizes. iPhone SE, iPhone 11, iPhone XR. And then you've got this compare feature. So you've got a compare feature because there's so many iPhones, you need a feature specifically to figure out, you know, which, how much iPhone is enough for you. And to be clear, I'm not saying that it's a terrible idea or anything to have, you know, lots of iPhones available for your customers. I'm just saying that wasn't Apple's traditional approach with the iPhone. The idea was that when you bought an iPhone, you were getting this curated, this validated experience. Wait, it was something to do with the Model Y video, I think. Ah, it doesn't matter. Fine, I'm over it. So what's happening then is that from a developer perspective or a user perspective, the iPhone is changing. Currently, you can get iPhones with all kinds of different sizes, all kinds of different capabilities. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that you could still get, actually, no, you can still get an iPhone with a Touch ID home button. Like, That is a fundamentally very different experience compared to the current paradigm, which is motion gesture control and using Face ID. So 2-3 years ago, I would have said, no, there's no way that Apple, there's no way they're going to bring out like a completely separate model of folding iPhone. Now I'm looking at it going, there's no way that they don't. Because Apple, if anything, has shown themselves to be extremely conservative about forcing their users to change unless they've offered a compelling upgrade option. So, for example, the iPhone SE still kicking around for people who want Touch ID and who want a physical button. iPhone 12 mini is something that they finally brought out to address the need from users for a smaller, one-handable iPhone. And they're very tactical about the way that they do these things. They will wait 3 to 4 years, which they know is a reasonable upgrade cycle for like a non-enthusiast. And then they'll go, okay, have we managed to get these guys to upgrade? No? All right. Okay. All right. Let's do it. Let's continue to support this segment of our customer base. So there's no way that they're just going to bring in a folding iPhone and replace the iPhone Pro. I don't buy it. But then again, I would have also said there's no way they're just going to completely remove Touch ID and say, okay, it has to be Face ID. If you want a high-end, you want a new iPhone, you want a high-end iPhone, that's it. You're done. You're out. So I kind of talked myself out of it. Maybe the iPhone Fold or whatever they end up calling it. They definitely won't call it that because Galaxy Fold, they got to come up with a new name. So maybe the iFold will replace the high end, but I don't know, man.
I'm kind of on each side because they don't normally introduce a feature this big without making a sweeping change, but they have also been trending in the direction of more phones and more large feature differences between the phones. So I could see them going in either direction.
This is a great comment from Endangered Tiger over in the YouTube chat. it's totally off topic. I don't know who the hell they're talking to or what it's about. But the comment is, a 3DS would be more reliable, which has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But what I liked about the comment is it made me think of the Nintendo DS. So Nintendo is one of those companies like Apple where they will go out and they will have a great product. And, or I don't know, maybe like Apple was. They're the kind of company that will go out, they'll have a great product in the market. It's selling awesome. Developers love it. Gamers love it. And they will completely get rid of it and take everything that people loved about it and reinvent it. Sometimes with great success, like with the Wii, and other times with not as much success, like the Virtual Boy, I think is probably, you know, the biggest failure that I can think of in Nintendo's history, where they took something that was working well and just completely broke it, but in like a bad way. And, you know, that made me think, I mean, if Nintendo has the chutzpah to go, hey, that single screen gaming experience, we're going to flip it on its ear. We're going to put two screens. Maybe Apple has the stones too. Maybe they do.
I mean, they have the money. That's one thing with Nintendo is like every single time they do one of these big crazy YOLO moves, which they do very often.
Yeah.
If it goes really poorly, not only does their management kind of absorb the failure, but they have the money in the bank to have that decision be a problem and be able to continue moving forward.
Apple doesn't
Apple's
seem to play
definitely
that
in the same position.
They don't seem to play that game though. Like Apple doesn't even acknowledge
definitely
mistakes. Yeah. Like that's part of their
not
image.
As a do you remember the antenna problems and stuff? Like you're holding the phone wrong. Well, like, it's your fault, 100%.
I mean, that was way back with the iPhone 4 though, or 4S, I think.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened more recently than that. You look at the trash can. The trash can was a rare exception, actually. They did eventually. Once they had a product in the pipeline, they did eventually acknowledge that it was terrible. and then more recently, you've got the keyboards on the last couple of generations of MacBook Pros. Mm-hmm. They have fixed it now. In the last, I think, two gens, it's fixed. But they just kept revising the product. They kept shipping them. They just kept shipping them. And they absorbed the cost in like their own way. So they just keep selling it. So they keep having the revenue, but then they just like keep having people bring them back to the Apple store to replace them. Yeah, exactly. Which is like bizarre to me, but that's just kind of like Apple's approach. I don't think they have the humility to release something and not be sure if it's going to be a success and be willing to just bail.
Problems. A bit of a recurring theme with Apple too, knowingly using child labor for 3 years after saying that they were using the highest standards for partnership integrity. So I just wanted to throw that little comment in there. I don't think I don't think there's a lot of details really, so I don't think it's its own topic.
It is in the doc, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, we can talk about that a little bit more later, but.
Okay, sounds good. Oh, here it is. Yeah, I didn't see it. My bad.
So with all that in mind, I want to bet. So let's look at the current iPhone lineup. Okay, so we've still got the iPhone 11, the iPhone SE, which is your home button one. We've still got the XR, which is your budget, but like kind of all the modern experience one. We've got iPhone 11. It's pretty typical for them to keep the last gen around for a while. That's not a new thing. And so really in the new lineup, you've got the iPhone 12, which has a more basic camera, all the same internal hardware. They're all lightning fast. So you've got the iPhone 12 in a mini and a normal size, and then you've got the Pro in a normal and a gigantic size. How does the folding how does it fit into that kind of four model new launch experience or strategy? Hit me. You have to be firm.
Oh my. I'm still thinking, I'm not committing to this quite yet. I will give you a firm answer, but I'm almost wondering if they do like a new device. I'm almost wondering if they do like a new device type of launch thing. where it's not even an iPhone. It's like an iPod style device.
I didn't even think of that. Because that's one of Apple's things. You know what? That's a really good thought, because one of Apple's things over the last 10 years is you don't f with the iPhone, right? Why mess up a good thing? Because iPhone revenue is so much more than just selling iPhones. It's all about collecting that sweet cheddar from app developers and that sweet cheddar from iCloud subscriptions. And what's it called? Apple Plus or whatever their new thing is. It's got like games and TV and workouts and all that crap, not to mention accessories. I mean, Apple is the king of turning the accessory purchases into standalone, like large purchases. You know, with the Apple Watch, AirPods Max, I mean, you could actually spend more on accessories to connect to your iPhone than you spent on the iPhone. It's genius. It's genius. And so,
yeah, and like all of those things would be different for this device. And you actually said it yourself earlier, because if they called it the, which I don't think they will, but if they called it the iFold,
yeah,
that's a new device. It's not an iPhone.
That's true.
It's not the iPhone Fold. It's an iFold.
So it's somewhere in between like iPhone and iPad. Yeah. And it wouldn't even be that weird that the waters are kind of muddied in that way, because the iPad already had cellular connectivity, for example, has already been capable for years and years, even if it doesn't have a SIM card in it, of calling through FaceTime. through FaceTime. So the idea that this could be just like another device, but see, that's where I run into trouble, because that's also part of Apple's philosophy, is that every device in their lineup exists for a purpose.
To be used with each other. It would be very normal to have an iPhone and an iPad and an iMac and
everything AirPods. Else.
But to have an iPhone and an iFold is weird. Yeah.
Yes. So if you look at Apple's, like, let's look at the whole product lineup here instead of just focusing on the phone. So you've got your iPhone. Okay. And so yeah, there's a lot of different iPhones, but you've got your iPhone, you've got your AirPods, you've got, what else? You've got
what about
your
iPod though.
iPod.
Having an iPod and an iPhone is a bit weird.
The iPod is a toy. That's why the iPod is separate from everything else in Apple's lineup. It is a relic. It's a holdover. It's for kids. It's for people who don't have a cellular plan yet. It's a cheaper iPhone for people who are not ready to have a phone yet, or whose parents are not ready for them to have a phone yet. That's why the iPod exists. So yeah, I don't count the iPod, because it exists from so long ago that it almost has nothing to do with Apple's current strategy, and it doesn't have to.
Man, go to the iPod page right now and check out those bezels.
I can't even find the iPod page. Is that music?
Click on music. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And yeah, then there iPod. You go. iPod Touch. Oh Lordy. Wow, that really is. Damn, boy! Damn, boy! You thick, boy! You thick. Yeah, okay, so that's a fair point. Let's go back to here. So everything else, though, you could easily... So everything with its own name, you could easily have a MacBook for when you're out and about, iMac for at home, a Mac Pro for at work or whatever, and then Mac Mini could be like, you know, the PC for your kids to play on or whatever else. Okay, iPad. Yeah, so they're all iPads here, so you only need one iPad. But that's your couch surfer, you know? That's your second screen when you're doing something else, right? Apple Pencil, okay, keyboards,
No, that's actually not a problem, because they all fit within, they're all iPads.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter that there's a bunch of them, they're all iPads.
That's right. You don't need more than one. You only need one iPad, because they all serve the same function. And that's where I think our speculation about the iFold
has some issues.
Falls apart, because even though there's an iPad Mini and a gigantic iPad Pro, which is like, you know, the difference in size between these devices. I mean, we're talking the difference between a Kindle and, like, I remember the first time I got on a plane and saw someone, like, reading the news on an iPad Pro. Like, they might as well have had a freaking, like, newspaper in their seat with them. Like, it's gigantic. And but even though there's such a size difference, functionally, they are basically the same. And that's where the iFold falls into this really weird territory, where when it's folded out, it is functionally an iPad. And when it's folded down, it is functionally an iPhone. And so it almost steps on both.
This is a bit of a side thing, but there is also AirPod and Beats.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a side thing, but it is a It is a bit of a departure from their like single brand things.
That is true, especially now with the AirPods Max. Like before, when AirPods was more like your in-ears. And I didn't even talk about this in my video, but I hate the branding for the AirPods Max. It makes no sense to me. AirPods are called AirPods because they're ear pods that go over the air.
Yeah.
And AirPods Pros are AirPods that are better. AirPods Max are not AirPods. They're over-the-ear headphones. They are nothing to do with EarPods. And I get that Apple is, I mean, it's their word. They can decide it means whatever they want. That's their right. But it's
so weird.
Yeah, it doesn't roll across the tongue naturally. Like, and it kind of breaks their own naming scheme. Like, you look at iPhone and iPhone Pro. They're both fundamentally the same thing, but one's, like, a bit more better. Whereas... And then iPhone Pro Max is like a bit more better one, but like bigger. And so I get from like a functionality standpoint, if what makes it Pro is active noise cancellation, then
sure, yeah.
Then should they be AirPods Pro Max then? They sure as heck shouldn't be AirPods Max. So both the physical design and the functionality, like it doesn't really work. But I mean, Apple,
like to temporarily move away from the branding comment, yeah. what we were talking about earlier, like if we go into this music section and we're talking about individually named things, having a HomePod and having one of the AirPods, even if you got the AirPods or AirPods Pro and an AirPods Max, I could even understand that maybe.
Totally. I can 100% understand that. There's a very different use case for those two.
They're very different things. Yeah. But the whole Beats section is weird. So there is at least one, it's not the same, but there's at least one, at least somewhat breakout from the standard.
Do you think that Beats just goes away eventually?
I think so, personally.
I mean,
they're not like the fact that they have all these different types of Beats. They even have the like full over the head band, all that kind of stuff. They have a whole bunch of different types of smaller ones, blah, 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 blah. But they're all tucked away in the Beats section, which is on the far right, kind of on its own. And then all the AirPods have their own buttons. Like,
yeah,
they're clearly not giving it as much attention as the other sections.
It was honestly really strange to me. I do wonder, like, what the patents were that Apple were after, maybe, or something. Like, it was very baffling to me that Apple, the king of building branding, bought what it was essentially a brand.
I think it wanted to just... I think Beats had a lot of the mental market share that Apple usually wants.
So did they buy it to kill it?
To kill it or just to take that mental market share, because I think that type of market share that they had, which was like, who cares about the cost? I need this product because everyone else has this product.
Yeah.
Which is often the angle that I feel like the Apple marketing kind of goes with.
Very similar
Beats
demo.
Absolutely had that.
They owned it, completely owned
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So I think Apple was like, this is the easiest. We buy them and then we own that. And if we want to like work on our branding and make it better, sure, but we keep it there so that we own that.
And we slow boil this frog where eventually Beats is not the cool, sexy headphones to wear and Apple headphones are the cool, sexy headphones to wear. And you think
and
about it
that.
from like an Apple perspective, what did they pay? $1 billion? Like,
yeah. So like whatever.
Yeah. To Dr. Dre, that's a lot of
like
money.
Dre's stoked.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure other people that were invested in that are stoked.
Yeah.
But Apple's, they got their market.
$1 billion?
100%.
Like what? Yeah, whatever.
One fell swoop and they got their whole thing.
So that's an interesting sort of take on it. We haven't actually gone through a lot of the other points that are in the doc about the foldable iPhone rumor.
Right.
So it's said to be a dual screen model, which is likely the same dual display prototype rumored by John Prosser in June 2020. So it'd be kind of like the Surface Duo, two individual screens with a hinge in the middle, but when flat, the display would look seamless. The second prototype to have undergone testing is reportedly a clamshell foldable, much like the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip or Moto Razr. Reports claim that the clamshell model is set to use a flexible Samsung OLED display. Previous reports have also said Apple ordered a large number of Samsung foldable mobile phone display samples for testing purposes earlier in 2020. I love the Z Fold 2 or Galaxy Fold Z 2, well, whatever they call this stupid thing. Why didn't they just call it the Fold 2? I think it's
We were
Galaxy Z
saying,
Fold 2.
back when we actually did WAN shows from the office, we were talking for a while there, a few shows in a row, about how we thought folding phones were going to be the future. We just weren't there yet. And Apple kind of makes things the now
Oh
very
yeah.
often.
Oh yeah.
So they could absolutely do it.
When Apple does it, it's mainstream. It's that simple.
Yep.
It's unclear if the two devices to have been tested had different hinge systems. They are purported to be shells with very limited internals rather than like fully working devices. And the main purpose of the testing was to assess the durability of the Apple hinge. And now the testing has concluded. Apple is expected to evaluate which of the two foldable models to proceed with, and only one will be carried forwards into development. Okay, so there you go. That answers our question. We could have just read the doc. I actually still enjoy that kind of speculation anyway. It's just kind of fun because the reality of
Yeah.
it is, you know, just because Apple has a working folding hinge or whatever doesn't even mean that we will see it next September. It could be the September after. It could be the one after that. What they do well is they wait. So, no, Apple's not going to be the first to do an under-display camera, for example. In fact, that already exists. There's a short circuit video of me unboxing an under-display camera phone. But Apple's going to wait till it's good. The one that I unboxed, not great. It's like, it works. It works. And it's like, it's incredible. Like, it's cool. It's cool as heck. But it's not Apple polished, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Apple's filed for a large number of patents, blah blah blah. Late 2022 or 2023 at the earliest, says predicts UDN. And in other news, the artificial sun rises in the east. Okay, what is this?
A superconducting fusion device. If I remember correctly, it ran for 20 seconds, which is actually kind of crazy. Ion temperature of over 100 million degrees.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. Their 2019 operation ran for 8 seconds. Their 2018 operation ran for 1.5 seconds. That's wild. The K-Star is one of the most advanced tokamak, I hope I'm saying that right, style reactors in the world. These devices use powerful magnetic fields to shape superheated plasma into a torus ring shape. The team says an improved internal transport barrier, or ITB, performance was the key to this most recent improvement. So yeah, something ran
Cool.
with an ion temperature of under 100 million degrees for 20 freaking seconds.
And they're hoping
And
to improve
everything was okay.
stability to 300 seconds of continuous operation by 2025.
But you can see they seem to do kind of yearly testing. So we'll probably see steps along the way towards that 300 second goal as we move forward over the years.
So
Wild.
there's one small problem with current fusion reactors. Remember, the idea behind a fusion reactor is that it's supposed to be used to generate electricity. And currently, they actually consume more energy than they produce. The current record holder is actually the Joint European Torus, which can produce 16 megawatts of power from 24 megawatts of input power. So, you know, not exactly a perpetual motion machine just yet, but hey, any progress in fusion power is, you might say, bright point for humanity.
Oh. But yeah,
Hey.
it's I don't know. It's not generating power right now. It can only run for 20 freaking seconds, stuff like that. But we'll get there. And it's very, very cool to see development in that direction.
I've been asked for an update on Tyler. So we are setting a time. Do we have a time set for the stream?
Next Friday, I think.
Yeah, so it's tentatively set for next Friday after WAN show. I think we're still finalizing what game we're going to be playing.
Yes, I have some input on that, which might be helpful,
by the way. His family has created a GoFundMe to help with some of the costs associated with bringing him back to Alberta, actually, is where most of his family is located, as well as some of the other costs associated with people passing away. And I just wanted to say, you know, thank you to our community for the most part being just incredibly great. Just like you guys have said so much about, you know, what he was behind the scenes a lot, but I've seen so many stories from people about just like, you know, the 10-second interaction they had with him at LTX, or just how much they appreciated what he did, even though he, you know, didn't get to be the face of the content or whatever else. We're going to have some time during the stream for people to talk about their experiences working with him. You know, not everyone has said they're comfortable sharing it themselves, so I might read out some people's messages. I want to talk about some of my experience working with him. He was just such a creative person. We're all going to miss him. And go ahead.
I think I'm going to save most of my stuff for that stream. Yeah. But I think Jake actually said it really well on Twitter. He's an extremely genuine person. That was a big thing with Tyler too.
Tyler is real.
If you want to see something, it wasn't like necessarily received super well at the time, but if you want to see something that him and I worked on that I cherish a lot personally, look on Linus Tech Tips channel. I think it was called The Future of Offline Gaming. It's actually a pretty cool video. And him and I worked on that a lot together, and he's in it a fair amount, mostly in B-roll stuff, but.
Yep. So next week, tentatively after WAN show, is when we're gonna do it. And that's thank you for asking. It's not that we've forgotten or anything. It's just that it's kind of complicated to put together. You know, we want to make sure that we're giving our staff an opportunity to talk and an opportunity to sort of share with you guys about him. We want to make sure that we're working with the family in a way that's, you know, respectful of their needs and their privacy, and, you know, not rushing anything, and also trying to get you guys closure as soon as we can. So it's a lot of moving parts. Big shout out to Yvonne for doing a lot of the coordination between our staff and his family and everything. She's got a lot on her plate right now with like accounting year, and she's actually like right next to me with a gigantic spreadsheet open right now. But she and Tyler were actually like friends aside from just being colleagues. So she's put a lot into it. In other news, we have a major hedge fund that has advised Intel to outsource their CPU manufacturing. And can I just take a moment before we go through this to say, this is why I have never been willing to take any investment in Linus Media Group. And this story is exactly why I am so...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, why I'm so glad to not have any kind of external investment. I'm not saying Intel doesn't need to change things. Intel absolutely needs to make changes. But to have people come in and think that just because they have a lot of money to buy my shares or invest in my company or whatever the case may be, means that they have the requisite knowledge to tell me how to spend it, is just, I find it offensive. And, you know, maybe there's even some kernels of truth in here. Like I said, haven't read through it yet, but just the idea of someone coming in and telling me, you know, no, we can't pay that person that much, or you know, instead of investing in creator warehouse and merch, you need to invest in doing, you know, more fully sponsored videos for brands that force you to say things that you don't believe in. You know, because I can tell you guys, if I wanted to make a lot more money, there are a ton of brand deals that I could do that pay really well.
Just really slimy.
But
and they reduce your principles and the core idea of your operation.
But are just gross. Like, there's some categories that we haven't and will never touch. And it's not for lack of sometimes bidding wars to get us to, you know, whether it's, you know, I'm not going to name anyone. It's just not constructive, but we won't do it. So hedge fund Third Point has taken a $1 billion stake in Intel, that's with a B, and has called the chipmaker to consider shedding its manufacturing operations. Their CEO wrote Intel a letter with a number of demands for Intel chairman Omar Ishrak. This is great. This is in quotes. "We cannot fathom how the boards who presided over Intel's decline could have permitted management to fritter away the company's leading market position," Loeb wrote to Intel chairman Omar Ishrak.
Anything more, I completely agree.
Yeah, it's a fair point. "Stakeholders will no longer tolerate such apparent abdications of duty."
Ooh. Ooh.
Can I just take a moment and say, Daniel, dude, kind of a douche. Just, can I just, like, who talks like that? Like, what is wrong with you? Okay, hold on. It goes on, though. "The loss of manufacturing leadership and other missteps have allowed several semiconductor competitors to leverage TSMC's and Samsung's process technology prowess and gain significant market share at Intel's expense," Loeb wrote. Uh-huh. So here's the thing. Everything that Mr. Expert Daniel Loeb wrote in this letter is something that, like, he could have known, like, watching a video on Gamers Nexus. You know? Yeah. Like, it's not even Gamers Nexus. No, never mind. You don't have to watch Steve. You don't have to sit through Steve's boring droning on forever in order to get this kind of information.
It's not boring.
To get this kind of information. Oh, speaking of not boring Steve, okay? My goodness. This is a thing, okay? They outdid themselves. They outdid themselves on the disappointment 2020 build. Hold on a second. I posted a community post about it earlier because, like, it's unreal. You know, their disappointment PC series does not get enough credit. It's only got like 230,000 views, but the like-dislike ratio tells you everything you need to know about this video. Check this out. Okay, hold on a second. Okay. They did like a whole thing. Look at this. Do you see? This is custom. These are CPUs. Those were like RTX Shroud-inspired things. Like, well, this goes on for literally minutes of like Steve building like a ghost PC that like it's all paper and it all turns to paper and he's in this weird mirror room full of graphics cards. Look, don't miss it. Go watch it. Even if you don't watch the rest of the video, I don't care. I don't blame you. You know, he talks forever, but you gotta watch the intro because it is actually like PC enthusiast art. That is the best way to describe it. You need to go watch it. So anyway, I'm trying to think of something more mainstream, like, you know, Gizmodo. Okay. Like what? What's his name? Daniel reads an article on Gizmodo and like suddenly he's an expert on like,
if he scrolled his phone on Reddit technology for like an hour one morning, he would have been able to write this strongly worded letter.
Okay. So
I don't disagree with him. It's not necessarily a highbrow take.
So in the past year, Intel has lost what, $60 billion in market value.
Brutal.
The hedge fund said it was particularly concerned at the loss of talent at Intel, saying that the company had lost many of its best chip designers, while the ones that remained are becoming increasingly demoralized. This is actually something that I have heard through the grapevine about what's going on at Intel. And I mean, it's not like we didn't see that complacency 5-6 years ago. We watched it happen. We watched them go from, hey, we need to push the limits to, hey, we need to I don't know, not really bother because we need to cut costs so we can just make more money because we don't have any freaking competition. So that's a good point. It should be noted that even if Intel was to outsource their chips, they don't need to be completely fabless like AMD does. Almost a quarter of Intel's wafers are currently being outsourced, so they could potentially leverage TSMC to restore the competitiveness of their chips while still making lower-tier processors in-house. But honestly, I don't think that's going to fly, and I think we already kind of know TSMC's take on that. If I recall correctly, they actually did comment on it publicly, although it might have been industry scuttlebutt. Either way, it sounds credible enough. I think they basically said, look, Intel is a fab company. We're not going to build out capacity to serve their needs, knowing that this is not a long-term partnership in the way that AMD or Nvidia would be, you know. So too bad, Intel. Yeah. You like making CPUs, then make CPUs. You don't like making CPUs, stop making CPUs. I think if I'm TSMC, I'm kind of all or nothing, because I've got customers coming out my butt at this point, you know. Apple, AMD, Nvidia, to name a few. I mean, Nvidia went Samsung this time around, but it's not like they're never going to work with TSMC again. I'd be shocked. So Intel responded. This is great. Intel welcomes input from all investors regarding enhanced shareholder value. In that spirit, we look forward to engaging with Third Point on their ideas towards that goal. It's just like these are not ideas. Saying, no. You know, hey, you need to keep shrinking CPUs. Do you honestly think there's no one at Intel who knows that? Like, yes, they made some mistakes, but the mistakes that they made, and this, I don't know if this is a fundamental misunderstanding of like how CPU design and manufacturing works. If Intel doesn't have a competitive product today, that means they made a mistake 6 years ago. Like, they know they are in deep hot water right now. There is no way that they're not trying to fix these problems. So coming in, buying a big stake in the company and being like, you guys should make CPUs with like less nanometers. We heard nanometers are bad. So you need as few nanometers as possible. It just, I don't know, it's just kind of silly to me. So I guess Third Point's never going to invest in my business now that I was rude to Mr. Loeb, but that's okay because I don't want investment in my business. So I think it's fine. People on the internet aren't convinced. TLDR. Hedge fund wants to loot Intel, destroying its future competitiveness in exchange for massive payoff now. Yeah, that's not a bad take.
That could make sense.
Here's another good take. Intel will right its ship given a chance. Why can't these parasites wait 1 to 3 years? Oh, man.
Well, that is the take of this is why Linus doesn't want outside investment.
Yeah. Does gutting national tech competency and capacity just to avoid a short-term dip in profit sound like a good idea to anyone but a filthy capitalist? I added the word filthy. these investors buying $1 billion of Intel so they can tell Intel what to do. That's some serious cash. But based on today's market cap, that's about 0.5% of Intel that they control. So unless they can persuade some other real investors, there's no way this is going anywhere. Oof. Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, it's not like I don't think Intel needs to change things. They absolutely do. I mean, one of the things that is so telling to me, okay, you look at companies that are just killing it right now in the semiconductor space. AMD, CEO. What's AMD CEO's background? Luke, can you recall off the top of your head?
It's not business, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what it is.
Dr. Lee Sisu is an engineer.
Yeah, but I didn't remember of exactly
Nvidia.
What kind.
Nvidia. What background does their CEO have again? Is it in finance? Does he have an MBA?
I don't believe so.
Engineer. So to me, it's one of those things where it's like it's a tough decision to make, but I think that you need to
electrical engineering for Dr. Sue.
You need to put engineers back in charge of Intel because business people are great at maximizing profits, but that's a short-term thing. If you want great products, which is ultimately how you make a profit, then you need to put smart people who actually know how the products are built in charge. You need to put people who know what the products are for in charge. And well, good luck, Intel. I mean, I'm rooting for you because you see what happened. The second AMD didn't have a competitor, they increased the price of their entire lineup by $50. It's not like AMD's like the good guy. It's not like their reason for existing is to save you a buck. AMD is out to make money, just like Intel. Surprise, surprise. So we need both of them competitive. Now, with that said, I think Intel could stand to be humbled for a couple of years. That would be a good experience for them. I think they could stand to lose some big market share.
And hopefully something that they would like define in their history as a reason to not do certain things in the future.
Exactly. Like something they are not going to freaking forget. But I don't know. I don't know if I can count on that. We should do sponsors. Oh my goodness. Okay, the show is brought to you today by O-Balls. That is not the right sponsor, and I'm in trouble. I used entirely the wrong folder to copy over my sponsor thingamaboobers. Uh-huh. So
I'm gonna try to take a topic while you set that up.
Nope, I got this, so I'm just gonna do that. The show is brought to you today by Redux. Redux is a PC builder striving to bring PC gaming to the masses. There is no price markup on the parts, just a $75 build fee. So you select your budget, pick your games you want to play, see how they perform, and then let them build your PC. Their online configurator allows you to customize what's going inside based on the games you want to play, and Redux gives you a 2-year warranty on parts and labor. So why wait? Start your build at buildredux.com/Linus. And got a little secret for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's Digital Storm. So it's like, it's like good you know?
What?
Yeah. So like for realsies though, these aren't just like some random, like nobody PC builder. It's like good stuff. So you want to get in on that. You want to get in on that. Okay. No honey today. Not that either. Oop, Seasonic. Oh yeah. Seasonic. Seasonic power supplies available with up to 80 plus titanium efficiency. That's like the highest level of 80 plus certification. Okay. We're talking efficiency level A. Right? Okay. Efficiency level A. They got the Lambda noise level A++. Okay. Noise output below 20 decibels during operation. Fluid dynamic fan bearing. Look, I could talk all day about all the like individual features. The reality of it is Seasonic is an actual power supply manufacturer who has actually been making power supplies for as long as I've been alive. They're really good at it. They build power supplies, not just for themselves, but for tons of like brands that you know that make good power supplies. Their own models are available with up to 12-year warranties, and you can check them out at seasonic.com or at the Amazon link in the video description. Always love Seasonic stuff. Everything from their very high-end stuff all the way back to like, it was like, if you could get the Seasonic, like the OEM ones with just like the gray chassis, I'm talking like 10 years ago, you could get them for just like $8 to $12 more than like the actual, sorry, who the F is this, power supplies. And I would just always be like, look, please, to clients.
They're huge. Yeah, definitely.
Please spend the extra little bit, get a Seasonic, because I don't want you coming back here with a broken system. Finally, the show is brought to you by, nope, not that, Kernel Care. I'm supposed to play the accompanying video while I do the read. There it is. Kernel Care Plus detects all vulnerable shared libraries in memory and automatically applies live security updates without requiring service restarts or server reboots. The installation process of Kernel Care Plus is easy. Plus, you can set it up on multiple servers at a time. After the installation, the software will automatically check for new patches every 4 hours, saving you the time and trouble of manually checking. And other than the initial installation of the Kernel Care agent, you don't need to do anything else. The agent can either talk with a dedicated Kernel Care Plus patch server or an on-premises one inside your infrastructure, and Kernel Care is available for almost for all major Linux distributions. Learn more and try Kernel Care Plus for 7 days on all your servers at the link in the video description. I think that the video is a little bit on the longer side than the speed of my read today, but hey, see you later. good try. All right. We're still hiring. LinusMediaGroup.com. We've got a couple of positions available right now. I have an interview tomorrow, actually. Speaking of hiring for positions, do you want to hear who it's with?
Yes.
One Madison.
Oh, no way.
You know what? The reality of it is that if you guys thought Madison was super annoying and you think you can do a better job than her, then go ahead and try and apply for this one, because I think this is the third interview now. So she's doing pretty good. And if you want Madison to be our social media coordinator, then don't apply.
I guess the position is for social media coordinator. So if you want her to get the job, maybe talk about it on social media.
Yeah. Full-time logistics coordinator. We're hiring one of those. Full-time bookkeeper or accountant. We know that that is an extremely broad posting, but the reality of it is we want someone good, and whatever that looks like, we want it. We're also looking for a junior account manager. So this is like sales. We're looking for full-time video editor and camera operator. How many people are we hiring right now? Full-time junior design and manufacturing engineer for Creator Warehouse. Retail product and inventory manager for Creator Warehouse. Holy crap. We're going to have like 40 people working here and before I actually blink again. That is nuts.
I don't think you're counting Floatplane, are you? So
freaking nuts.
Yes.
Yeah, but you guys aren't in office. I'm talking like the people that will actually under the roof on a daily basis. We're going to need name tags, Luke. We're going to need name tags. Like, how am I supposed to remember all these people? You know me.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you going to put them all?
Ooh, it's tough.
And like, where do you, like, if you need another place, like if you keep hiring at this rate by the end of next year, then where are you going to put the ball? Year after that, then where are you going to put the ball? Like, I don't know.
Luke.
Difficult, man.
I've grown uncomfortable with how fast the company is growing, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
It's really weird for me. Like, I never intended for this. This was not what I wanted. This was not what I wanted. What else did we? Oh, you know what? We got to pay for it somehow. We're selling water bottles on Amazon now. There's only a limited number of them there because, long story short, Amazon only lets you ship a limited number of units when you're not like an established seller already. So they have no idea how rabid the LMG fan base is. But if you want to order an LTT water bottle in the US or Canada, and you want to have prime shipping, this is the way to do it. We know that shipping is one of the things that is a source of friction for buyers on LTTstore.com. And wait, is there a bird emoji on Floatplane? Every time your bird goes on camera, there's an explosion on Floatplane.
Really?
Yeah. That's hilarious. What? And I'm scrolling up in the chat.
I think that's like an outside thing that is technically supported by our chat. That's what people are just okay. Stop the spam.
And Floatplane chat is loving the idea of Madison as a social media coordinator. I mean, it's such a Zoomer job too. Like, one of the first assignments is going to be, okay, we need a presence on TikTok. Figure out TikTok, please, because I have no idea what's going on. Like,
figure out this weird platform.
Yes, please. Please explain. Okay, so we got the singing and the dancing and they're not too long, but like they're longer than vines, and we got popular people are over there, and but like no one's making any money on it, but they're there anyway. But then also they are making money on it, and what is this? Why are we singing again? Like, I can't. So I need Madison to come in and explain it to me, and we'll...
Or someone.
So that's what we're working on. What else is there to talk about today? Oh, yes. Apple apparently knowingly relied on child labor for 3 years. This was posted by Business Insider, Washington Post, and... hold on. Stupid thing. And the information. Oh, actually, I'm not familiar with that site. So in 2013, they apparently learned that Suyin Electronics was hiring underage workers as young as 14. When they discovered this, it took them 3 years to fully remove Suyin from their supply chain. Suyin was responsible for creating I.O. ports for the MacBook Pro. 10 former members of Apple's supplier responsibility team said this wasn't an isolated incident and that Apple had refused to cut ties with suppliers who had repeatedly violated labor laws when it would have cut into their profits or caused product delays or shortages.
Now, as far as my understanding goes, this is we've been talking about a few things that like might be new things for Apple this show. I don't think this would be a new thing for Apple.
For instance, Apple also refused to cut ties with Beal Crystal, a supplier of iPhone screens, despite a consistently poor workplace safety record. Beal's executive explicitly admitted that improving its safety wasn't worth it because doing so had actually led to less business from Apple. Apple was not willing to cut Beal from the supply chain because then they wouldn't have financial leverage against their remaining phone screen provider, Lens Technology. Oh, and according to the Washington Post, Lens Technology is relying on forced labor in camps in China. Brilliant. It appears that at least five companies in Apple's supply chain are linked to forced labor in the Xinjiang region. This is allegedly. So, yeah, that's pretty lame. It's one thing to not know about it. It's a separate thing to know about it. Both are bad, but there's degrees of bad. Finally, the last thing that I wanted to talk about today. Shroud apparently watches LTT videos on stream, like, all the time. So the one that I became aware of was this video right here uploaded by Game Recap. So none of these are actually uploaded by Shroud. And it's Shroud reacts to Ryzen 5000 series benchmarks by Linus Tech Tips and Hardware Unbox. It has 180,000 views. Look at this one. This one I'm seeing for the first time. Shroud reacts to RTX 3090 8K gaming with 500,000 freaking views. So this was a really new experience for me because I kind of got to watch an LTT video through the lens of, through the lens of someone else.
Another content creator, yeah.
Yeah, like whenever I watch an LTT video, I know the spoilers. Like I know what's coming. I never make myself, well, I shouldn't say never. Occasionally I make myself laugh with a joke or an on-screen or my on-screen antics or whatever. But watching someone actually like sit and enjoy it for the first time and like laugh at our silly little eulogy for the Core i9's supremacy in gaming and like the offhand quips with Anthony and like, you know, for me, when I react to the graph that's on screen, obviously I'm not seeing that graph for the first time, you know? Like, think about the video production process. So I'm always kind of like faking it, like it's scripted. I'm like, what? I can't believe AMD just took the crown. But that's choreographed so that we have a visual that comes on screen when I say that, and it's like I've got like notes in there for myself. Like typically I will sit down with Anthony for anywhere from about 40 minutes to an hour and a half for something like a new CPU or new GPU launch, and we'll go through like how do we want to tweak this, how do we cover it well without wasting time. It was actually really nice feedback from Shroud. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna watch this video because I really like their benchmarks, and I'm gonna watch the Linus video because it's just short and sweet. It's kind of everything I need to know, but, you know, always get a second opinion. It's like really good consumer advice, actually. So you can watch them for gaming, but you can also watch them for just like how to be a smart consumer in the modern age. And it was really fun, and it was actually far more engaging for me to watch the video this way than to watch it on my own. I don't watch Twitch streams. And so this is a genre of Twitch stream that I just mostly completely ignored. Let's continue to watch Shroud react to... Let's react to Shroud reacting to me. He actually doesn't do much. He's mostly just putting my video on screen and sitting there collecting Twitch ad money. But hey, whatever. You know what? I'm okay with it. I messaged him. I was like, hey, thanks for showing our video on stream. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And he's like, oh yeah, sorry. I didn't check with you about showing it. I assumed we'd be chill. I'm like, oh yeah, we're chill. Feel free.
Like, so many people on Twitch do this.
Yeah. It's extremely common. Yeah. I just, it's just something that I hadn't thought about.
It's just extremely common.
Honestly, I like it because it's a way, it's like, it's okay. So if you look at this and go, hey, Linus, couldn't help noticing that cost you 500,000 views on your RTX 3090 video. That cost you 500,000 views worth of ad revenue. Like, okay, yeah. So I guess it like cuts into the profitability of our business in that sense. But this is not like college, you know, college basketball where it's like, oh, well, you know, you should just be happy for the exposure. This is truly a type of exposure that broadens the appeal, not just of our channel, but of like access to making smart consumer decisions based on real numbers and providing context for it. Like, it's important that people see these gamers that they look up for shopping properly and yeah, learning about things before they just spend money.
And it has some of the same issues that like claiming that the amount of copies of a game that were pirated is exactly the same as the amount of revenue that was lost from selling that game. Like, that's not true at all.
Oh, for sure.
There's also likely going to be some double views on there. Like, I have personally watched a video before and then seen that same video reacted to by a certain Twitch person show up in my feed, yep, and be like, I wonder what they think. Usually with that one, I just skip through it to the parts where I wonder what their opinion on something is. So I don't end up, if it's like a 16-minute video, I might watch like a minute and 30 seconds or something. But like, it's that shouldn't count. I already watched the video on the main site. It's not like I'm taking a view away. I wouldn't have gone and watched it again. So yeah, I don't know. I personally think it's a good form of promotion. I'm just saying I wasn't necessarily saying that it should be automatically okay for all creators. It is probably a good idea to check in with people first, or at the very least, if that person lets you know, like, not a fan, you should probably immediately stop. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm down though. I'm down. He's super cool. I've really enjoyed working with him. That's totally yet another casualty of 2020 is not being able to work with Shroud again this year. We had talked just kind of loosely about, we both expressed interest in working together again. And then, well, obviously I'm not crossing a border. Obviously he's not crossing a border. So just kind of a bummer. I think that's pretty much it. It's time for us to do some super chats. Only got time for a couple today. Aaron says, howdy from Texas. God bless you and your families. Y'all were the best thing about my 2020. Hey, thanks, Aaron. Also, sorry to hear that. Your 2020 must have absolutely blown chunks. No, I'm just kidding. We're pretty okay. We're pretty okay. But hey, thank you very, very much for the kind words. Tommy Gunn says, what'll happen to all the old WANIX servers after you set up the liquid-based one? Well, I think old WANIC might get the drives from WANIC 2. So WANIC 1 might get the drives from WANIC 2, and then we'll see what we'll see if they like still don't work, because we thought it might be something to do with like AMD's PCI Express controller, and maybe if we put the Intel drives on an Intel controller, they'll work better. But then also those drives seem to be fundamentally flawed, so we're not really sure what's going on. Steven says, any comment on Apple's hypocrisy with respect to child labor? No more than I would comment on Apple's hypocrisy with respect to environmental impact. Like,
or just like everything else. There's also like something that has been very frustrating, and I strongly appreciate the Silence brand meme that was going around for a while, and I hope it kind of comes back, is like you see these gigantic brands and gigantic companies getting behind like different social movements and trying to be like, yeah, we're on your side, and then simultaneously lobbying against people trying to stop them from using slave labor or child labor or various other things, because they don't actually care, and it is highly profitable for them to try to convince you that they're on your side, even though it's complete crap.
And even if the like, you know, low paid peon that runs the Twitter account genuinely does care about these causes, that doesn't mean that the billionaire running it also cares.
So
the thing to remember is that brands are not singular entities. They are collections of people sort
they're
of
not on your side.
Yeah, sort of motivated by, well, there are people within them that can be on your
but
side.
The
That's
brand
a tough thing.
Itself is not on your side.
That's true.
It's almost never the case. If they are genuinely on your side, which they might be, it is very likely that way so that they can align with you in order for that to be part of their marketing, which could be very legitimate. And that could be a good brand to support, because if they are actively acting on your side, even if it is a form of marketing, maybe that's something that you want to support and that could help improve things overall. And that's good. But you do have to understand that ultimately they are going to do it because it is also better for them.
Yes. Speaking of brands that are on your side, okay?
Could be mutually beneficial, though.
Jordan says, hey, I love the Northern Lights desk pad from LTTstore.com and all the different sizes. I was wondering if there's any chance you can do a more subtle one, like plain black with like a white logo in the corner or something like that. I believe we are working on a stealth pad. The problem is that we have booked as much production as we possibly can at the factory for the next, like, 2 months, and it's all going to be constellations. It's all going to be Northern Lights because we can't even make enough of those. So yeah.
That's pretty wild.
What else we got here?
People are asking for a Dell update.
Yes, I have heard back from the insider. They're just waiting on some validation that I've asked for of their position at Dell and some of their claims. I do intend to bring the Dell Insider onto the program. Yes.
Cool.
Michael says, Linus, do a workstation video and be nice to Dennis. I will be doing another workstation building stream soon, because those video editing positions we're hiring, they're going to need stations. And I'm at the point now where I'm just not willing to issue workstations to people in the editing department that I didn't build personally, because we've had a lot of problems with other ones in the past. So I will build them all personally with my own two hands, and then someone will check them over for me after to make sure I did it okay. Hashtag Linus. So that'll be coming. Thanks, True Neighborhood Watch. Okay, we'll do like a couple more. Greedo says, loving my LTT water bottle, but still waiting on the underwear to be in stock again. Hopefully 2021. Absolutely. So speaking of deplorable factory conditions, I don't know about deplorable, but they were not acceptable to us. That's why we haven't had underwear in stock for quite some time. But guess what? The shipment is about to land. We are going to have underwear in a new style. We're also doing a reprint of the old style ones in case people missed out on them because they were unexpectedly discontinued when we found out what was going on. I'm excited. We're gonna do another underwear shoot. So, man,
is the new style just like the print, or is it like new fabrics and stuff?
Oh, I'm wearing one of them right now. Hold on. So this is an early unit. Just a sec. Hold on. Just let me get all adjusted here. Okay. Hold on. Just got it. There we go.
What if this is allowed on Twitch?
I have no idea. Hold on a second. I got it. I can't get up. You know. Hold on. I got it. Just got it. I mean, I'm not showing any skin. So there you go. It's like a purple kind of like.
Cool.
Matrixy kind of design. And the waistband doesn't have Linus Tech Tips on it anymore. It's just like a super subtle. Oh, I can't show it to you. There you go. It's like a super subtle rubberized LTT.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Sorry about that. Can I just take a moment to cry about the cruelty of one Mr. Nick Light?
Oh my.
Can you imagine what kind of monster it would take, okay, to launch an underwear product immediately after the holidays, requiring me to do a shoot in my underwear right after Christmas? Okay? Because that's not fair. That's not funny. That's just mean. Okay? So, yeah.
A little bit.
Go f*** yourself, Nick.
But are the materials and stuff the same? Like, is it
so
just new print? Or?
You will not be able to tell the difference.
Okay.
Yeah, we almost screwed up the sizing, even though the material was really good. But it is, I think we made them ever so slightly either longer or shorter based on some really good feedback that we got. But in terms of the quality and the type of the material, it is basically identical.
Awesome. Cool. That's exciting.
It took us a long time because that was what was good about the factory we were using. The quality of the product was really good. Too bad it was just unacceptable to use them. So we had to find someone that could, you know, produce just as good a product, but, you know, not under crappy conditions. All right. I think that's pretty much it for the WAN show today. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We will see you again next week. Same bad time. Same bad time, excuse me. Same bad channel. We were super late today. It's a very bad time.
Bye.
Oh, Nick, hold on. Nick just messaged. He says, and I quote, "F you." Lol. Yeah, right back at you, bud. Right back at you. And you know what? You know what? Because I'm the one who's live, I get the last word. F you twice. That's right. All right. Show's over, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, for those who don't know, Nick manages Creator Warehouse, our merch business. Sorry, if you needed some context for that. All right, roll that outro. Can I just say how much I love my bleep button? Because it's so much fun. It makes me so happy every time I use it. And...